This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's a happy day on the hilltop, and I'm here with the gals who really folded on that last intro. I wasn't here, and what I learned is that you'll never probably fire me.
So you went back and listened, or did you watch the YouTube?
He just listened to the intro. That's all he cares.
Yeah, I want to know that.
Who is going to intro your podcast if not me? Like, who?
It is true. I really flunked. I did an F.
I flunked bad.
I mean,
worse.
All you got to do is be like, welcome. We're back. We're glad you're listening. I mean, there is like a myriad.
I felt like
okay,
a faker.
But I want to know, did you watch the YouTube?
I watched it on YouTube.
And when did you stop? Just right after the intro? Or you listened to the whole thing and learned a thing or two?
No, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I got to the point where you introed your bud.
Okay.
Cool hat. Great hat.
Yeah. AJ's awesome.
And then, I was just so upset is the word I would describe. Yeah. I couldn't watch anymore.
Because the party was less than it could have been if you'd been there.
It wasn't like beep, 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 beep. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. But Danny, yeah. There are three seats.
Three
in
seats.
This little nook. And you're going to have to make another seat if we have a guest now and put yourself sit right here.
If we have a guest, though, we do have to solve that problem.
Yeah, we got to solve a problem.
He can't sit there. His head won't. He could sit right here in the middle.
But the intro is going long. So
we'll bring us something.
I'm going to bring you something.
You got something.
My voice is a little cold-ish, but I'm walking out of it.
Are you in here sick?
No, I'm not sick.
She's not
right.
Complete.
I had
That's
a little slight
says.
Bit of a cold and I'm walking out of it.
That's what everybody says until like...
No, I'm actually, I rarely get them. And when I get them, I just like...
Well, it's been a while for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to shout out today to all our first gen crunchies. And I would say most of you listening, probably the majority of you, are first gen crunchy. And I want to talk about what that means, the impact it could have, and just opening your mind today with how this is just not going to be about you.
First gen crunchy, you mean like your mom wasn't crunchy, but you have become
the exactly generation.
What I mean. Serene and I, a third gen crunchy,
yeah,
and I'm
going to
tell
deep.
A story about that today. Mm. Arden, Serene's son, sitting over right there right now producing, now that producer John's gone.
Fourth gen.
Mm-hmm. My children are fourth gen, and I see this incredible thing happening. Now, you know, my daughter Meadow, I mean, I have grandchildren. They're fifth gen. They're growing up in the ways of knowledge of health and they care. Now, not everybody. Like, I'm not saying, you know, your first gen or your children are going to be just like you and they're going to embrace it.
But train them up in the way they should go. It's scripture in the Bible. And when they're old, they won't depart.
When they're old, but not when they're teens.
Sometimes they'll have a little rebellion, but they do come back.
Yeah.
Some, and some more than others.
Some
and
don't rebel at all.
Right. I mean, I've got super crunchies in my offspring, and I've got some like...
That surpassed you.
Yeah, way more crunchy than me. Like, they're serene crunchy level, right?
Maybe more.
And then I've got some, like my noble... thankfully he married a wife that just makes some nice, good home cooked meals because he didn't catch it yet.
Yeah.
But
anytime's a good time
but I'm
for
just
a banana.
So glad.
Like as if on cue, we're talking about like healthy eating.
I had caught it eaten on the way
but
over
guess
here.
What? Never
you
give up on
it.
Your children because Noble's working out now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to get it. I'm holding hope. But okay. So today I just want to go back and I want to tell a story about why we're sitting here, why you're even here on the potty, Dan.
Tell the tale.
Well, why you guys are listening in.
We used to go to our nana's and we'd go on an excursion with her, like a little outing. She would buy us bananas and talk to us how they were gold.
Yes.
I didn't even plan on eating that and talking about it, but it's just, remember that?
Okay.
She talked like this is a Skittles in
well,
your hand.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder, it was beautiful. I'm glad you brought that. You should have brought it at a later time, but... It's our nana. So our nana. No, I'm good. I'm talking. Our nana was first gen. Now,
your nana. You're talking about your mom?
No, my our nana.
That's a grandma.
Our mom's mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our Nana is the reason we are sitting here today talking about health food. It's the reason you have a potty to be on.
She was married to the sheep herder.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. The sheep sharer.
I don't know if I met
her. So we don't know why our Nana decided to be healthy, but all I ever remember with her is having, she's the most amazing woman, but just health conversations about the goodness of food. And she loved food. She was a foodie.
She loved research too.
She was one of those original, I don't know where she got the books, but her bookshelves were lined with the health books of the time. And every night she'd be reading, she'd read her Bible, but she'd be reading a health book. So we grew up always, you know, going to our Nana's, and we got this passion for health books. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started in our Nana's kitchen. Nana would bake bread and she'd always be baking something healthy and she'd be, you know, growing a garden. Many people had a garden back then. But back then in our Nana's day, everyone was into sugar and white flour too, you know, the dainties and all of that. But Nana thought that was just terrible for your health. I don't know how she knew it.
She had millet porridge every morning for breakfast and dandelion root coffee.
Do you remember that?
And you don't know her influences?
We don't know. Mm-hmm. I wish I could go back and ask her. And we need to ask our mum about that. How could she, you know...
Her mother died of cancer.
Yes.
And she was raised by a grandmother. Could, know that.
Probably had a lot to do with it.
Maybe that. But in that day, they didn't really know
correlate
sugar
stuff.
Was...
Yeah.
They
yeah.
didn't... Hey, in that day, they thought smoking was good for you, right? They used to tell pregnant women to smoke.
And formula really? Was better than breast yes. milk in that day.
How did That's she wild. Know these things? But she intrinsically knew. And she... taught us, all of us grandchildren, we were influenced by her. Our mother was influenced by her. So
everything though, yeah. it wasn't just what she ate, it's what she put on her body. She would make rinses for her hair
yes.
out of sage leaves and herbs. And in her kitchen would be all kinds of concoctions for her body mm-hmm. and for, you know, not just internally.
This is literally you.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
Hair concoctions and such.
So she influenced our mom, right? So mum was second generation crunchy. And
like we grew up, we never had bread brought from the store. We never had granola brought from the store. We never had yogurt brought from the store. It was all homemade from her.
Yeah. So we, you know, we'd go to school and all our friends would have like nice white bread sandwiches. And Elsa would be like these.
Let's be specific. Vegemite chippy sandwiches, white bread, butter.
In Australia.
Vegemite Lay's potato chips.
I don't know if they were Lay's.
Whatever, but they Brand. Were the they were the Kringles, the little things with the thrills.
Yep,
and that's what everybody ate for lunch in Australia.
Or a meat pie.
Yes.
What's a meat pie?
We had brick bread that was so heavy. I mean, it makes my bread look like fairy fluff, right? And salad from the night before stuffed in it that had been a little bit softened by the dressing that had been in it since the night before.
Night before salad.
Oh. Yeah.
Mate. But you know, it was tough at the time, and I used to long. You said, "What's a meat pie?" And it's an Australian like famous kind of traditional food. It's pastry and mincemeat and gravy in it. It's delicious. Not at all good for you because that white pastry is just so.
I can't even remember having one.
Oh no! Well, you see, you started your crunchiness early. So, but back then it was kind of. Difficult. I used to kind of be rebellious in my heart a little bit. I love my mum's foods and she cook a great meal every night. But when I went to school, I longed.
But didn't you have good healthy breakfast
stuff.
Too at house? At
yeah,
house?
I'd had a good healthy millet. Breakfast at home. Millet porridge. Well, she'd make us whole grain pancakes. They were the two things. Or eggs, poached eggs. We had three breakfasts. So we never, ever, ever, ever do not remember once having cereal brought.
Did we have
packaged
juice
cereal.
In the house? Never. No.
Junk
grape
water.
Juice from communion from church left over.
Yeah, because
there could be
kids.
A cockroach in it, so you wouldn't try it because the fruit juice would attract the cockroaches. In Australia, you have flying cockroaches, and if the fridge was open for more than 5 seconds, you know.
But all that to say, if it sounds tough, it really wasn't. I mean, I look back and I'm so, so grateful for my crazy crunchy Nana and then my crazy crunchy mum. And yes, because we kind of got influence in the ways of health and we started our own journey of like health books became our thing, right?
And it wasn't just food, it was exercise too.
Yes.
Wasn't our Nana called the Sputnik train, the freight train of,
yes.
what was it called? The speed train of...
Speed train walker or something. So
she
was
walked everywhere. Everyone in the town knew of her
okay,
as the
so
walker.
Our Nana, and it wasn't just, she was in fantastic health. Now granted, she didn't have the knowledge then that we do now of... ample protein. I mean, she couldn't restore her hormones back then. In the end, she passed away in her late 80s of osteoporosis because, you know, that's what happens to women as they lose their hormones. They lose their bone mineral density. She didn't know about protein. She didn't know about weight training. She didn't know about lifting heavy things. She only knew what she knew, and she was a walker. But do you remember this, Serene? We used to go and stay with our Nana, and she's like, today we're going to go help the old people. That was her hobby. She would go help old people. Well, our mum, we didn't understand. We were just like going with her to help the old people in the old home. She was older than them. Yes, so she would go to help the old people. But she was like, you know, she was getting into her late 70s, and a lot of them were just like, you know, they just were kind of crippled in their late 60s. And she would just go to help them through their day. And you know, our grandfather, because our Nana was just making so many healthy foods, she fueled him, and he was
the youngest of all of the Bowen boys.
No, he was the oldest, Serene. He lived the longest.
That's right. He was the oldest, and he lived the
longest. So there were several boys, maybe nine of them. How many were there?
It was a lot.
It was a large family, and all of them, you know, none of them really cared about diet. Their wives didn't. They all, you know, passed away of the basic diseases.
Diabetes.
They always had gout. Many of them had diabetes. Our grandfather never experienced any of them. And the reason is because of our Nana.
Yeah.
It's what she fed him. And, you know, he lived into his 90s. At 92, he jumped out of a plane. And
83rd birthday, he bungee jumped.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were about to like share his death.
No. He used to
What?
Every year he used to try to do something adventurous.
And he would have lived way longer. But you see, it's a long story, but he had a problem from when he in his 20s, and he never got it fixed, and it was a bladder issue.
Yeah. But he lived into his 90s, but
he never dealt with it in his 20s.
All of that to say, she was a first gen, and something inside her made her flip a switch to be healthy and to feed her family's health, for her family healthy, and to pass it along to her future generations. And we're sitting here today because of her.
Oh, totally because of her.
And, you know, I want to pass that along if you're listening. This is not just you struggling with trying to stay on plan, or you having a battle with Dunkin' Donuts when you drive past it. This is you, whether you see it or not, and you may not see it. It's going to impact your children, your grandchildren. They're going to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can change generations. You can be that one. You know, you hear a family's like, and it was like many of them had poverty, and then one, you know, goes to college, or one does something and it changes mm-hmm. everything.
You are oftentimes what is your environment around you. You don't have to be. You can be the one that changes. But oftentimes you're just, you know, the fruit of what's around you. I mean, I go to the Dick's in Walmart. People look different
where we live
in Dick's in Walmart than they do in Franklin Walmart.
Right.
They look different, but it's just because of their lifestyle, their health lifestyle.
They do.
You know, they put Coca-Cola in their baby's bottles, and many
Dixon.
People do it. It sounds racist to Dixon. I'm just saying.
It's not even racist.
This is getting taken out. Okay,
it's
just
no, cut. It's not.
No, it is. You can't say they put Coca-Cola in baby's bottles.
Not
in Dixon.
Everybody.
I think you can. I think you can say it.
Okay. Just
listen to other podcasts.
We'll have our argument on
the podcast. Is the safe space to be politically incorrect.
Bro, listen,
we're not
okay,
on the radio.
So I'll just continue.
I have not seen. Okay, but keep
no,
going.
Not everybody. Okay, many people.
But
99%
of Dixon
people. Look at JD. He grew up
JD
in Dixon.
JD lives in
Hickman
Dixon.
How true is this?
Is she lying?
How
is
true?
She, no, she's
not.
Not
lying.
She's not lying.
Many people are like us. They live out in Dixon because there's country and there's land and they can do their big gardens, right? But there are some people that I do you know why I know? Because I look at their carts and they have babies and I look at their carts.
And they have bottles
so
in those
judgmental.
Carts and Coke.
And the color is not white in the bottle.
It's okay, folks.
Okay, but I'm just
all
trying
to say. All
you let
us go to Serene, not me.
No, but what I'm trying to say
it's
is.
Mountain Dew, it ain't tell them.
You know, oftentimes people come to us at Trim Healthy Mama and say, well, it's just all I knew. I grew up on canned food. I grew up on Pop-Tarts. It's just all we knew. I didn't even think about it. But see, you can be the one. Now you've got the knowledge. Now you have been given the seed. It's not for yourself.
Even in Dixon.
It's for the future. It's for the future generations.
Yeah.
And so you can change that environment so that the ones growing up after you, they're just like, well, you know, I actually, I was given this awesome information, and because of that, I'm different. And it's kind of what we wanted to do when we called the latest book, when we had one of our nieces start to, you know, extend the cookbooks, and she took over Rashida for that cookbook. We call it Trim Healthy Future. We're passing the baton on. But the whole theme there is, it's not a trim healthy just present.
Mm.
It's all about a trim healthy future, not just for you, but for your family.
Dan.
Hey.
I would call you a first gen crunchy.
Yeah, I'm first gen. Yeah. So, I'm crunched out. I don't identify as a crunchy person. I identify as a Lucky Charms eater.
Right. But in reality, you're crunchy. Now, I don't identify as a crunchy too, but in reality we are. What is a crunchy person? Crunchy person cares about health. You care about eating foods from the earth. So therefore you're crunchy. Let's just say what it is.
Food
from
the
earth. But I want to hear from you.
You identify as food from the earth guy though. That rings a bell with you.
Yeah, for sure.
You just don't identify as somebody who sprouts their own granola.
Yeah, it's just the community. I'm always like, I don't subscribe to the pages and follow and like. And
no, but you don't have to. But you see, you are first. You've changed. You've cut something off and changed it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I went to raise my hand. Not you. It was like, ooh, that was weird.
That's always fun
it's
with
not
strangers.
Not my husband's arm. It was like, ooh.
That's fun with strangers on the airplane, you know?
Oh, yeah. It is.
Foreign flesh.
But Lisa, your wife, too, is she first-gen crunchy?
Yeah, she was there before me, too. Like, yes, I didn't get into it. I mean, we were married 15 years before I started hosting.
Honey, I have some stories. Yeah. When you were at the Hilltop and went to the Hilltop Church.
Yeah.
And I've told it before on the potty, but your mom took... Your mum, your wife,
no, same
our
difference.
Mother aside and asked for prayer and wisdom on how to feed Danny the Pop-Tart addict. I remember sitting there.
I can't take it.
It was an hour long, serious.
Hide me behind the mic. It's so funny.
Danny was on the prayer list for his Pop-Tart.
This is, I never knew this.
No, it was quite serious.
That.
Like she was sharing from her heart of concern.
Could we take 5 seconds of silence? Just for my life. That is too good. I'm probably peaking the levels.
But look what God has done, Danny.
Look what the Lord has done. Look at me now, hosting a health podcast.
Okay, but what
talking
are you,
about macros.
Well, let's talk about your children.
Let's talk about my kids.
Okay.
Hey, here's the thing. Here is the thing. I find it way harder now to allow unhealthy eating habits in my house. I think it's the Valdez brain wiring. Everybody's a psycho when they're spiking and crashing, and too much.
Yeah.
It is way too much. My daughter, way too young, she cussed me out.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And was that after sugar?
Typically, there's some metabolic fallout. Mm. When she's hungry, absolutely. She becomes a little agent of Lucifer and a little tail sprouts and she gets her little pitchfork and she hunts me through the house. I mean, she's nasty. Ansley, one day when you watch this, you can apologize to Daddy. Yeah, it's really hard to not eat right, I find. Like, the whole obstacle for a lot of people of eating right, eating earth food, is like, oh, the prep and the thought. But for me, I pay such a high price, I feel, when my family's not eating right. Mm-hmm. And it's palpable. I mean, you have a bad day.
Mm-hmm. You know, because Serena and I, even though I am calling myself crunchy, really I'm the drive-through suit crunchy version. Serene, even though I've got more purity in my ways, just because out of love, not out of pressure, as I've adopted more amazing superfoods into my life, I feel more amazing. And so they've just become a natural part. But Serene, you kind of didn't ever allow any junk in your home apart from at Christmas. And then they were allowed some organic sugar things in their stocking, right, Harden?
Somehow when it came from Whole Foods,
yeah, it was,
you know,
like, all right.
It somehow my brain was like, it's, you know, being prayed over by the
Probably the Whole Foods people.
Yeah.
I was about to say something totally politically incorrect, so I'm glad I caught myself.
So glad.
Dang it. Poor Danny would have loved it. Pearl would have fired me. And I never would have been able to return.
But my home.
But fill in the blanks, people, if you can fill
no,
in the blanks.
No, let's not.
I always try to breathe into that because it's like when I see Serene about to go, it's like I have like fork and knife. I'm just like, give me that steak.
Oftentimes when I go to Whole Foods, yes, I.
Okay, so anyway, it was kind of my thing.
Okay.
So you didn't have sugar, but from that one time in the Christmas stocking, I wasn't as strict with my children, but it wasn't candy all the time, but you know, my husband would take my children to McDonald's sometimes and, definitely not as strict as you, but we grew up in a Whole Foods home. You know, they were having eggs and toast for breakfast or oatmeal or, you know, they had their whole grain brown rice pasta or whole wheat noodles at lunch and you know, their brown rice and all of that, their beans and Whole Foods. But we weren't like super strict. And now I'm looking at the results of our children and we both, let me see about your children. All of them crunchy. I'm trying to figure out if all of them are crunchy.
Arden is very, Arden's super very, crunchy. Very, very, he's the oldest biological and he is very, he has his own whole
he's
idea
a macros guy. Okay.
No, but he's not just a macros guy. He's a purist.
He's a clean
he
purist.
He likes, macros. He's foodie. So he loves food. He loves great experiences of food. So he's not like, he just doesn't care if it tastes like dirt. He wants it to taste great, but he cares about the health of it, not just the macros. Because it's macros people
plunges.
And it's like all proteins are alike, all carbs are alike.
You've got a lot of children, yep. So okay, this is going to take a while.
Yeah, but Chalice, she's very, very, very
she's
pro
super
healthy.
Crunch.
Cherish has become more so. She's a soul food eater, but she really
I'd
cares.
I call Cherish.
She cares. She doesn't eat sugar.
On her way.
Yeah, she doesn't eat sugar though.
Yeah.
She wouldn't stop at fast food. She doesn't eat drink right. pop. Breezy is like a health psychopath.
Psycho.
Cedar is very, he makes his own salads. Chipotle is his treat.
Right.
Yeah. He drinks breast milk lattes for goodness sake.
Hold on.
His wife
hold
just
on.
Had a baby.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Danny,
his wife just hold. Have you had you know, those huckers?
She said he drinks breast milk lattes.
Okay, there's those huckers that you stick on the breast on the other side. You know that.
What?
Listen. You know how you
look at Arden's face. You, Mike is like, okay, I just don't know if I should be listening
listen,
to this.
Let me explain the PG version. No. Let me explain the PG version. These days,
JD's
it's a new
like,
invention.
I believe everybody ought to have a little breast
days,
milk.
Back in our day, you breastfed on one side, you stick a sheet on the other to catch all the breast milk first baby, right?
I
believe
pads,
in breast
yeah.
milk.
Okay, you did nursing pads, but these days they're all cool
it.
About it. And they have this little suction cup that collects all the drops from the other side.
JD.
So that you don't have to pump. And
he's
you have
hiding.
Extra milk, right?
Yeah.
For when, whatever, give away to the poor.
Hey.
Well, Cedar's like, what are we going to do with this extra breast milk? She's like, I don't know, we might need it one day. His wife says this.
Cedar has a
and
baby,
he's like,
by the way.
But it looks great. If I drink cow's milk, this is more suited for a human. Why don't I try it in my coffee? So he was having like cold lattes as to not wreck the you know, the
Serene.
Grape.
Cedar was drinking. Okay, hold on.
He was
minute,
drinking the
minute.
Excess.
Cedar
he's
was
a
drinking his wife's breast milk in his coffee.
Welcome to the hilltop.
I have no part
drink
of this.
Drink your wife's breast milk on the hilltop.
Hey, it just seems so normal
actually,
to
they
me.
Don't live in, they live in Florida now.
They're all trendy and cool.
They're exporting
they
hilltop ladies.
Is Cedar okay?
They have the trendy huckers. They
is,
don't just
I'm
have
touching
to like.
Your arm. Is Cedar okay with you sharing this on the potty?
He put it out on his jolly Facebook. He was making it live.
He made breast milk lattes from his wife's breasts.
He wasn't showing the breasts.
No,
he was
but
showing
he,
the latte.
But as an in, like a like an influencer would like show you their ooh
I don't know what
making
to
coffee
I don't
with
know
my
what
kiddos.
Okay, so this is how you what
this
you happens party. When you when
is
you,
this peachy?
Okay, let me tell you
yeah,
about my
good.
Children. Okay,
yeah,
so
good.
Christmas time, my husband was a painter at the time. Shush.
Yeah.
My husband was a painter at the time. Remember
this is munchy. This isn't crunchy.
Before Trim Healthy, right? So. My husband did painting, did construction, whatever.
I
remember?
Did with him.
Danny did it with him.
It's right there.
Anyway, so he went in town like a few days before Christmas. Was this with you, Arden? And was it Cedar and Chalice or you and Chalice? Okay, so Cedar and Chalice. So he takes the children and he's picking up a few checks so he can buy Christmas presents, right?
Mm.
And some lovely lady of the home that he just painted gave him donuts.
And he thought, we don't really eat them, but I'll just say thank you, fantastic. He took them back to the car and he's thinking, what the heck? It's 2 days before Christmas. My wife's not here. She doesn't need to know. I'll offer my children a donut.
This is your husband?
Yes.
Okay.
So he offers Cedar, I thought it was Adam, but apparently not, Cedar and Chalice a donut. And they don't want to take it. They're like, no, we can't take
That's
it.
That's because we don't want to take it. Indoctrinated.
Wait. And then he's like, no, it's totally fine. I'm daddy. And I say, it's okay. I want to treat you to a donut. It's like, we don't really feel
they're
like
more
it.
Scared
we don't
of
even
mommy.
Like it. They take it. They have one. They feel so bad. I had sent them lunch. You know, I had sent them like a romaine lettuce and a bunch of other snacks quickly thrown together.
Baba ganoush.
Yes, they had dips and carrots and things. And apparently when he came back from getting another check for another house, he saw that they looked like rabbits in the back. They were like putting the romaine lettuce down their throat so quickly to purge the donut.
They were trying to purge. Yes,
but people listening right now might think that's a little extreme.
No,
my children used to think your children were brainwashed.
But this is the deal. Let me tell you something.
Didn't my sons think you
were They were allowed to have... We always had treats in the home. Always. We always had yummy stuff. And at Christmas time, they had like organic sugar or whatever. But they were 13 and under. They weren't allowed to make their own decision for sugar. I'm like, sorry, you don't eat sugar. We don't. Over 13, you want to go to a party and have sugar? Fine, it's your problem. Have a headache.
But I would have to say you were not so extreme that you would rip it out of their mouths. Like if they went to a little party... And like her children have had a little sugar here and there in their lives. But
I wouldn't rip it out of their mouths.
So
but if it was
psycho.
In my house and I found it in their drawer, I would take it and I would tell them I took it and I would chuck it.
Yeah.
And yes.
So what
it's
you're
not
saying,
be in our
so
house.
So we have talked about it. Your children are beating mine with their crunchiness right now.
Well, Autumn's pretty jelly crunchy.
I mean, they're
makes
making
up
breast
for them
milk
all.
Lattes. They're
Autumn
beating
makes up
everyone.
For several of your partly their ones, I would say. But
I could go on and on about the others, but we won't.
They're younger.
Is breast milk latte
and Getty? They're all intense.
Girls.
Yeah, no, yours are very. I'd say, like, hey, people could say, okay, I'll let you speak. People could say, and my children used to say, Serene's children are brainwashed. Okay, and she was super strict. But I do have to say, let's look at the results.
What?
Her children love healthy food. They're raising their own children in healthy food. So I think you did it with strictness, yes, but you did it with love, and you must have done it in a way where your passion came
they
across.
They didn't want to rebel.
They didn't want to rebel, but I don't know if it was just that, Serene, because when you're of age, you can go out. That wouldn't
no,
be rebelling at a certain
say.
Point.
No.
It would just be making your own decisions.
No, but what I'm trying to say is they didn't feel like, oh, I want to go out and eat.
No,
all,
right. Yeah. Because I think they sensed a passion and a love, and you made foods delightful and you loved foods. And I think they caught that love. Would you say that's true, Arden? People can't see you, but...
Arden.
Why don't you come here?
Yeah, come and talk.
Are you going to squeeze between auntie
squeeze
and
between
mommy?
And take that. Oh, this is good. Oh,
look
we're
at him.
Speaking for you.
Mr. Breast Milk Latte himself.
No, it's not me. It's actually to add on that.
Hold on. Wait till you get the mic.
Oh, man. I can't do it, dude.
Look how big this dude is. How tall are you, Arden?
6'5".
6'5". Good grief.
No, I was laughing in the background because to add on that, before Cedar was married, I was making some
Don't look
jokes
at the camera.
Oh, yeah. I forget now.
Yeah.
Before Cedar was married,
focus
I was
on
making
me.
Some jokes and... I was joking with him, and he was like, I'll never drink breast milk. And now I was just laughing so hard. Because
he's the latte man.
He's Mr. Latte man.
But I was going to say, so your stricty mom, who, you know, I used to be like, Serene, you're so strict. But I have to kind of give kudos to her now. And I would say, did it feel strict or did it just feel like she was passionate?
There were some parts of it that kind of felt strict, but overall we developed a love for it, and I really didn't notice that and appreciate that until I went through what I went through.
And for those who are new in the room, you went through stage 4 cancer.
Went through cancer 7 years, and during that whole ordeal, I developed a huge love for healthy food and appreciation for what mom had taught us over the years.
Okay, so our other sister, Vange, I'm thinking all of these generations that are coming from our Nana, though, this is really not because of us. The way, you know, you raise your daughter now with healthy food and you and Esther, I mean, Esther wrote a cookbook for us. But what was I going to say? I was going to say our Nana and my sister, Vance, she had 10 children, all of them crunchy.
Freaking healthy.
I mean, this is.
But
this
funny
is
thing
all
is, I remember arguing with like Bowen and Rocky and some of Auntie Vange's sons, and we were like, we were all arguing like our moms are healthier than your moms. Instead of like my dad's your dad's boss, yeah. It was like my mom's healthier than your mom. Like
you probably would have won.
So Arden, you got serious and took it more personally about eating right when you were going through cancer.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
The holidays are the perfect time to start building your full Trim Healthy makeup assortment. We call it Made for Your Beautifully and Wonderfully Made.
And we have got Basie, Lippy, Lashy, Glossy. And they're all toxin-free. They're all beautiful for your skin. They're actually healing to your skin.
Can we tell the story behind Made, Pearl? I'm a purist with the food, but that's not where it ends, of course. It's like you can't put the chemicals on the skin either. And I couldn't find a makeup that I really felt was pure. I went psycho and I started putting like beet juice on my cheeks for blush.
I remember.
It was scary. It was years of some really crazy ideas. And then we met an amazing lady who actually had skin issues her whole life, and she was allergic even to some of the top clean brands out there. And so she became an expert. She studied, she researched, she spent, I think it was 20 years in designing a makeup that was as pure as the driven snow. And then we came along because we met her. She was actually a Trim Healthy lady, an amazing woman. And we kind of started to pick her brain and used her knowledge with our colors and flair.
Basically, we partnered up.
Yeah.
I am lazy. You know my drive-through Sue Nature? Do you know what it does to me? It makes me not want to have to take my makeup off at night.
Right.
And I know it's better, and I usually do, but I wanted a makeup that if I got so lazy that I just wanted to get in bed and not bother, that I could sleep with that knowing that it wouldn't harm my body.
There'd be no clogging of the pores. It won't be aging your skin or drying it in the night. Actually, the Made makeup is healing to acne. One of my daughters, she got an infection of the skin. When she applied the Made makeup, her skin cleared up. She always had a clearer day after wearing makeup.
My daughter, the same thing. She cannot use any other makeup. I take my makeup off at night generally, but when I don't, I have no feelings, oh no, what am I doing to myself? Because I know it is healthy for me.
I wear it every day. Before we established our Made makeup line, I would try and limit the days I'd wear makeup.
Because you want to give your skin time to breathe and all of that.
But I wear it every day now.
Me too.
And I love it.
Build your full assortment of Made makeup products, including our luxury kit at trimhealthymama.com.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Yeah, I did. No, I appreciated, like, I loved a good home-cooked meal, but I didn't really love it. Like, when I was, like, 16, I was like, Taco Bell, like, that's the place. As soon as I got my license, boom, gone.
Taco Bell's...
No, but, like, now I haven't been at a fast food restaurant for, like, 8 years.
Yeah. Really?
Because I don't love it. It's nasty.
Now, what changed, though? Did you feel better when you ate? Did you find your treatments responded better when you were eating good? What was the switch?
Just the understanding that it's bad for you.
Okay.
And honestly, the understanding that it's not real food, it's fake food.
Yeah.
And then also over the years developing an interest in cooking and cooking healthy meals and understanding that that actually tastes better.
Right.
Then
he's a great cook.
Yeah.
He's an amazing cook.
You know, that's such a great point is that, you know, once you break the sugar and the chemical, because there's chemicals.
And I will say when I first got diagnosed, we were talking and I didn't have a lot of sugar and wheat in the house, but when I got married and out of the house, I had sugar and wheat every now and then. We had bread and stuff. And I was like, how am I going to not have bread, like wheat and bread and sugar just as like snacks and stuff like that, ice cream and whatnot. And just over the years developing like, oh, I actually don't even need that. I don't need that to survive at all.
I guess things really change. The reason why you're doing things changes when you're fighting for your life.
So. Yeah. Well, I was telling somebody just a couple days ago that they were complaining that their kid wasn't into health food. I'm like, really, they have to experience it. They have to experience it. Now, I'm not saying that they need to experience a life-threatening event, but just experience something that turns them in the direction of health.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I was having severe gut issues and they were mixed with anxiety. Yeah. And it's like, well, which came first? But yeah, you can have anxiety without cause. you know, or the cause could be your diet.
Yeah.
I think a lot of my anxious spiking and crashing was totally diet related.
And also, you know, Arden.
I was just going to say, though, Arden,
he was facing cancer. You can eat the best food in the world. It's a fallen world. You know, you can get a disease. It's more likely to get a disease if you're eating unhealthy. But, you know, he knows the source of his issue, and he had Roundup fall over all the area of his neck. It was an accident at a site that he was working at, and he was out of state traveling and going to the next motel, so he couldn't shower till about 7 hours later, and so that was the cause.
That's another story for another time.
We're gonna tell you a full story one day.
Well, definitely.
So it was a Roundup cancer.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, even on TV now, they're like, if you've been exposed to Roundup and got cancer, call this number.
But
this happened to this guy right here.
Comes from the Roundup. Yeah.
That is so. Yeah. I mean, people spray Roundup. Even next door, I mean, you have
no idea the hatred I have for chemicals. So, like, put the food and health thing on one side, and then on the other side, you can put chemicals.
Chemicals.
Extreme chemical freak.
So, are you cautious with, I mean, when you're putting polyurethane, fixing a table?
I don't do anything. If I'm doing anything with any chemical, I have to have a full hazmat suit.
Yeah.
I have to have goggles, glasses, gloves.
That's how I am.
Mask, everything.
I changed the chlorine in my pool the other day, and I could smell chlorine on my hand, and I was just like, this hand's getting cancer. Like, I had to, like, wash, and I could still smell the chlorine. I'd wash it. I'd still smell chlorine. I'd wash it again.
I don't swim in chlorine pools. Like, I really don't. No,
well, I was washing it, and I was like, what's in this soap? It's no better than the chlorine. And
what?
Then
you don't
like,
have that Trim Healthy soap? Oh my goodness, it's so good.
I every now and again will indulge in a bar of.
I'll get the mic.
No, it's good.
But Arden, because of the cancer and stuff, like, will you use even regular shaving cream or something? Or?
No, I don't actually. So
you're chemical free.
Everything's chemical free. I no parabens, no phthalates.
All THM products.
Some of them, yeah.
Do you get a discount?
We don't
or
have
no?
a man. We have. Friends and family, you get a discount, you blighter. He gets the same discount as you.
Same discount.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
I might get like a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that was good though. I'm glad we actually pulled you over here just to hear the real truth.
Yeah. You know, I think it's worth whatever. Like, even 10 years ago, cost was still, and for some people, I guess cost is still a big deal, but even the poor, like I felt
so
like
I
was the poorest
that,
amongst us.
I would challenge that because people, it's honestly laziness, and I'm not trying to like hurt anyone's feelings. But if you really want to live a long and healthy life, some people don't really appreciate that, and they don't, they like the idea of it, but they don't, they're not willing to put in the work. And it's honestly a lot easier just on your, because you eat healthy for a period of time, you actually become a healthy person, have more energy, and then it becomes easier along the way.
I find too, I eat less meals. Like when I'm eating bad, I'm hungry in 2 hours. You know, like you talk about Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've got teens. There'll be maybe a once a year run for the border, right? Amen. You know, because it'll be midnight, nothing's open, and my kids are like, "Dad, please, we don't want to die on your couch." And I'm just like, "Come on," and I mean, it is like ravenously addictive food, like you know Taco Bell.
Well, it took me a while to break those chains. It's just like addicted to. I used to love like when I got out of the house and going to. Not my grandmother on my mom's side, but grandmother on my dad's side.
Oh,
that was,
yeah.
She had chimichangas and like microwave stuff. And I was like, those were the bee's knees. And like, they were great. But then realizing.
Mama's not looking.
But just realizing that actually wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, you're hungry 2 hours later. That's what I was going to say about Taco Bell. Like, so in the same way, if you make food like that, you throw a microwave burrito, for example, sounds convenient. Who has time? It's like, you got to do it. Like every hour and a half to 2 hours. And
well, you're probably not just having, you're probably not getting enough protein.
But for instance, like I'm really, my brother-in-law lives. So my wife's brother lives with us. He rents a bedroom up in the top floor of our house. And, love the guy, great guy, but I've been trying to like pour into him, like eat healthy. And he's always like, he's always challenging me. He's, you know, 19, 20 years old. And he's always challenging me like, oh, I'm the big rooster here. I'm going to, I'm the head of the house, kind of trying to like joke around, but he's like, I'm stronger than you are. And I'm like, okay, I don't really care about doing this right now. But I'm like, whenever we get into a tussle, he's always out of breath and he eats terrible food.
Right.
And I don't let him have this food in my house, but he never eats at, like, he doesn't eat breakfast because he'll just go out and go eat something.
Yeah.
And he'll eat dinners with us occasionally, but he just eats terrible food and he's always out of energy. Always. And he's always completely tired, always sore, always cracking like a freaking Rice Krispie.
Like, but do you think, I think it is a little difference, if I could be a little stereotypical with young men and young women. I mean, it's not always the case, but like my girls have definitely gravitated to the crunchy thing more than my sons, although my sons are kind of halfway there and they work out. So they've got that part of it. But for men in general, oftentimes it has to be something that happens to them. Or they're faced with the decision, hey, if you don't, you're going to be faced with this medication, or you're going to die, or you're going to have this disease.
I do feel like, though, there can be the fact that they learn to love a nostalgic comfort food. And if that nostalgic comfort food is healthy,
yeah,
they'll always be cool with that. Like, they may love to run to the border and do the Taco Bell, yeah, but my son's always loved my homemade bread, my sourdough bread.
Well, and I will say, like, for Vision and Cedar, they haven't experienced a life-threatening or event or any kind of sickness like I have. And they are, like, without a doubt, they're a lot healthier. A lot healthier than I was at their age.
Yeah,
I'm healthier than they are, like, as far as eating foods, and I cheat very, I don't cheat near as often as they do, but they're on the regular healthy.
Do you ever, after all these, how long have you been absolutely pure with your food?
I take that back. So I generally try to stay away from sugar and wheat. Yeah. There's occasional times, once or twice a year, where I'll go to like Indian restaurant and I'll have some naan.
Oh,
but that's.
But like, you have to have naan at an Indian restaurant, don't you?
But I won't. I refuse to get like store bought like naan or anything like that. Right. It has to be like fresh
an
naan.
An event.
Yeah, if it's at a good restaurant, or like some good small piece of artisan bread, like with some garlic butter, I can't help myself.
No, like, but I think that's just vitamin P pleasure.
Yeah,
and vitamin it's just P. Enjoying life
I'm big into that, and I'm like you guys said, I'm a huge foodie. I love good, awesome, really good food. So it's not worth it to me unless. It's really good.
Yeah.
But you've been years, because you had to, you were fighting for your life, for your very life. Yeah. But
we don't have sugar or wheat in our house at all.
So now, so this is my question to you, though, because even it happens to me. Occasionally, when I'll just drive past Dunkin' Donuts and it says nothing to me. It's just quiet. And then occasionally it will call to me, Pearl. You want coffee and a jelly donut?
It's like
you
ring from Lord of the Rings.
Screaming in there, like it's like a repulsive haunted house.
I know it never calls to you, Serene. Does it call anything?
It
call to you?
It does, no. Not fast food, not anything like that. I'll get like the more, like actual authentic. If it's made at a restaurant, like by a good chef
made,
I'll probably get some like whispers there. But I'm like, I'm on mom's side, where like if it's, I'm passing by like some fast food or it's like some smaller podunk place, I'm like, ew.
Pearl,
it's like clown show.
Pearl, what's the go-to donut that fills you with regret?
It doesn't fill me with regret. Here's why.
You don't feel sick?
Because if I do it, it is probably twice a year, and I tell my
country.
You know, but they don't have Dunkin' Donuts in Mexico that I know of. No, it appeals to me here in Dixon, Tennessee.
To Dixon.
The real Dunkin'.
The real Dunkin' Donut, a jelly donut. It's from my
jelly
in New Zealand. They had jelly donuts,
like a strawberry jelly donut.
So, it doesn't make me feel regret or shame or anything, because I'm not doing it all the time. Occasionally I'll just say, Pearl, that's your vitamin pleasure, quite twice a year, that's fantastic. I enjoy every bit of it, but if it starts appealing to me and whispering a lot, I mean, there's a method. You go to the grocery store and you get some protein, you shove it in your mouth, and it shuts it up.
There is a dessert,
rotisserie chicken, put it in your mouth.
Oh, that's hard to do.
Better than that. And when you go to the grocery store, you have your little doctor's bag, which is what I have.
You got
my
your
little
keeper.
Black satchel. It's like a little tiny cooler. And I have my yak yum in there. I have walnuts.
Survival kit.
Face it, because her voice is
Oh, yeah. So I have walnuts and all kinds of things. And I have my doctor's bag, which it wouldn't scream to me anyway. But, you know, it's just if I'm hungry.
Do you always keep a survival kit with you?
Oh, yeah. Always a food survival kit. It's my doctor's bag.
See,
my wife tried to send me with a survival kit of tuna and stuff, and I couldn't fit it on my motorcycle, and I'm starving now that we're talking about food on this podcast.
Yeah, because you always used to have your black bag, you know, your backpack with all your little Danny,
your RX bars.
It's my little neurodiverse pack.
Yeah.
It's for neurodiverse Danny. Have you heard that phrase, neurodiversity?
No.
But I can imagine what it means. Neuro in the brain waves, and diverse meaning
moody,
in different.
Change.
It just means they're talking about people who are not on the what we would call the normal spectrum.
Okay. Who is normal, eh?
Well, but that's the thing. They're saying that 20% of the population is neurodiverse. But once you get to 20%, I mean, that's a borderline a fourth of
it's
the
like
world.
It's like the MTHFR mutations. They call it a mutation, but over 50% of us have them. So how is it a mutation?
Exactly. So why is this abnormality that needs diagnosed, which is what we're working on.
Is your arm getting tired doing
you don't have to.
Isn't that the worst job ever to hold a microphone?
I invited you on the show.
Oh, it's a little workout. It's like,
We're 44 minutes in, but how do we round it all up, speaking to the first gen crunchies?
Don't say round up.
Well, I know that don't say round up. But Arden's little girl, Gethsemane, I call her Gwethy, it's amazing. It must be kind of into her DNA through Arden, because she was born loving to taste my yuck yums. Like the grosser and greener and wackier and more bitter they were, like the more crazy things I put in it, she would, when she was just starting to pull up on the couch, she would go ballistic for them.
She loves them. I gotta say, she loves mom's crazy health foods, my crazy health foods. She'll even go, like, we'll be out and she's like, no, we don't eat that. That's yucky. That's yucky. We don't eat that, Daddy.
Nice.
That's bad for you.
Her DNA is Chinese too, because her mom's fully Chinese.
Yeah.
And so she, like, as soon as she could have teeth in her mouth to chew, whole sushi was going in there.
Isn't that interesting?
That's birthday cake to her.
Yeah, it follows the ethnicities, like your taste for stuff. Like
raw,
you said, Cherish,
like raw salmon and all that.
Oh, she loves it. She loves it.
And yet, Cherish is into soul food.
Oh yeah, man.
Like
it's in her DNA.
It's just
where I have to, like, if we have like some, like, she loves mom's sourdough toast, but like she'll like sometimes she'll just scarf it up, and then sometimes she'll like just pick at it, and you know how like kids do. Whenever we're around sushi, I don't have to like convince her to eat anything. She's like, it's like.
So like you and sushi, well, let me figure this out. Because to me, sushi, if I eat sushi, I don't mind. I just consider the white rice. I don't have an issue. I'll get brown rice if it's there. But if it's white rice, I don't like freak out. Like, is that the way you are? Or
yeah. So I like my normal meals. I like to stay away from white rice. I'll have it occasionally. I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Sushi.
Hey, what about
I don't eat
black
every
rice
meal,
sushi?
So.
Well, I love black rice.
But black rice sushi.
I've
never seen it.
I think that's a travesty.
You
gotta have just normal. It has to be classic. Like good white
rice.
Black rice
get
sushi.
Al Kroger in Dixon, Tennessee.
It's delicious.
Brown rice sushi is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't like brown rice sushi from Kroger.
Oh, Kroger makes. He
Kroger
is a
sushi.
Japanese chef, and
yeah,
he stands there and makes it right there.
You have
there
a special guy at your
incredible
Kroger.
He's got a special Japanese name.
Serene is dissing Dixon,
you,
Tennessee,
Yamakoto
with Coca-Cola in the bottom, but it,
full
can,
Yama.
It makes some good sushi.
My guy, he looks Japanese, but you talk to him, he's got a country accent. That'll blow your mind.
Well, I tell my wife and I tell all the guys I work with, I'm like, hey, if you go into a restaurant, like a Mexican restaurant, and there's just some podunk guy and he's not Mexican making food, I don't eat there.
If
I go to
a
Japanese restaurant,
and they're not,
you better at least
you have to
Japanese
have authentic people making the
now,
correct food.
Now his wife, though, she goes to a different level of sushi.
Oh, so she got hold on, start
yeah
again.
So yeah, Esther, his wife, she's even a level above the normal sushi lover. She orders just the thick pieces of the raw salmon on the globs of the rice with the seaweed around. It's like the real
salmon nigiri. It's just like with that little bit of rice and
watch
that
your mouth
salmon.
Well, my daughter-in-law is Japanese, and she loves to get the eel and all of that.
Ooh.
No.
Eel sauce is not even like an eel. You know, I thought like an eel would come out of the bottle or something, but it's just like sweet sauce.
Yeah. But we're good. We didn't round down.
Calm.
Well, can you do your trumpets of the ending? You know how you were like, I wish the other day when I was not here, you know, I wish that there was some kind of trumpet to, and you did that little noise because that was appropriate.
Hey, Mike,
and
by the way, you're going to have a job.
Now you have to do your ending trumpets, you know?
I need an actual trumpet.
Yeah. Well, you didn't. You did it before. Remember? He was doing his.
No.
That would be cool if I actually closed the podcast with a trumpet.
Well, then do it and let's go.
Like I had a real instrument.
Oh, no.
And it was how we closed down.
You did it at the beginning of this podcast.
We're good. Bye.
It's over.
Pearl, it's got to be the right closure.
It's done.
I'm leaving. And then I'll be